Welcome to the North Point Community Church podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
Philippians chapter 3. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, and he says this in verse 12 of chapter 3. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. This morning I want to speak to you on the next few moments on year in the rear view. Year in the rear view. Let's pray. Father, I ask that you would open up our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our mind to understand, and our heart to receive the fullness of everything you want to communicate to us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. And everybody said, amen. We are about to transition from 2014 into 2015. And the end of the year is such a natural time for change. We are shifting from one year into the next year. And just as this year is coming to an end, so can bad habits in your life come to an end. And just as a new year is beginning, so can new things begin in your life as well. It's during this time of transition that your fears can turn into opportunities for faith, that your worry can shift into moments of worship. It's in times like this that your sin can be turned over to the Savior, that your test can change into your testimony. And one of the things that we say here is that for everything in the natural, there is a supernatural correlation. And we know that in the natural, this is a time of change, a time of transition, a time of shifting. And so we believe in the supernatural, in your own spirit, that this can be a time of transformation in your life. It can be a time of change in your family as well. Let me just be clear. This morning isn't some motivational rah-rah talk. No, this talk today is all about Jesus, because Jesus came to earth so that he could one day come into your heart, because Jesus knew that he would make the difference in your life, and because he makes the difference in your life, you can make the difference in the world. So Jesus came down out of heaven to this earth because he wanted entrance into your heart, because he knew that he could change your life, and if he could change your life, then you could change your world. And that's exactly what happened to the writer of Philippians, as we just read, the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was minding his own business. He was on a journey to a place called Damascus, and he was going there for the purpose of persecuting the church. He was going there to take captive believers. And on his way to Damascus, Jesus appears to him. Jesus interrupted his routine, interrupted his journey in life. And when Jesus showed up in his life, everything changed. Paul spent the rest of his life trying to be his best for God, because God had given his best for him. And isn't that the case with all of us, that we should spend the rest of our lives trying to be our best for God, because God gave us his best when he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross? And then we read the Apostle Paul saying things like this that we read already in the book of Philippians. I haven't arrived yet. I haven't arrived at my goal yet. It's important to note, one, that Paul had a goal. And so because he had a goal, he knew that he had not arrived at that goal yet. I wonder how many of us are living without clear goals. Therefore, we never actually know if we have arrived or not. Because we don't have clear goals. We are unsure. Have I arrived at the end of this season? Have I arrived at the end of this growth process? Have I arrived yet? And if we don't have clear goals, we never know if we arrive there or not. And our goals, if we do have them, are often so vague and ambiguous that it keeps us from experiencing the thrill of accomplishment. And why do we have vague and ambiguous goals? And not only does it keep us from experiencing the thrill of accomplishment, we have vague and ambiguous goals because it also lessens the discomfort of disappointment. Because if I don't have a goal and I don't know that I didn't reach it, I won't feel the disappointment. I won't feel the discouragement. I won't feel the discomfort that it would bring in my life. But Paul says, I haven't arrived at my goal. I know what my goal is, and I have not arrived at my goal yet. But he says this in verse 12. But I press on. I press on. I am working hard. I am moving forward to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, Jesus took hold of the Apostle Paul's life for a purpose. And let me tell you that Jesus took hold of your life for a purpose, because he wants to walk in relationship and fellowship with you, because he wants you to enter into his presence with worship and with praise, because he wants to know you and he wants you to know him. He came to take hold of you for a purpose, but not only for that, but he came to take hold of you for a purpose because he's got a divine assignment on your life, because he has a place for you in the body of Christ that nobody else can fit. He's got a role for you to play that nobody else can play. And so you have to understand that whenever Jesus Christ comes and he takes hold of your life, he showed up when you were desperate and he stepped into your situation. He showed up when you were looking for an answer. And because he showed up, he took hold of your life and he took hold of you for a reason and a purpose. Why? Because he wants you to fit into his body, because he has an assignment on your life. There was a reason. And couldn't we all agree? If he took hold of our life for a purpose, isn't it worth us setting up some goals in our life to make sure that we arrive at that purpose? If Jesus Christ came down and he took hold of us and he captured our hearts and he took over our lives, isn't it worth our time to set up some goals that make sure we stay on the right path, that we keep moving in the direction that he wants us to move? This morning, I'd want to just share with you briefly three reasons to have a goal. Three reasons to have a goal. And I just want you to understand that if you're not familiar with our environment here, we are a goal-setting atmosphere. This is something that we do. So I would encourage you, to take out a pen, piece of paper. You got your welcome card. There's a note section on the back of that welcome card. If you don't have a pen, I would encourage you to steal your neighbor's. Do whatever you have to do so that you can make sure that you get these notes written. Take out your smartphone, your tablet. Do whatever you have to do, because you don't want to miss these reasons to have a goal. Here's the first reason. Let me just say this before I even start on the reasons. If a goal is worth having, the goal is worth writing down. If the goal is worth having, the goal is worth writing down. Goals in your head turn out to be more like wishes. But goals that are written down, they turn out to be more like watchtowers. They keep watch on your life. They keep watch on your direction. They keep watch over your progress. So you don't want to just have wishes in life. You want to have watchtowers, things that are making sure you're moving in the right direction. Here's the first reason you need to have a goal. You need to take control of your life. You need to take control of your life. You are either living by default or by design. You are living by default or by design. Bad habits are by default. Good habits are by design. And so therefore, you must learn how to live an intentional life. If you don't live intentionally, you are living accidentally. If you are not living intentionally, you are living accidentally. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, you say, there may be good things happening in your life, but if you're not living intentionally, those good things are just happening accidentally. You can't tell me why it worked out that way. You can't tell me how you got to that destination. You can't tell me how you accomplished that task because you're not living intentionally. You're just wandering through life, and some things are working out and some things aren't because you are living by default. And let me just tell you that we were all born faulty. Okay, so you know that whenever you're just living in your natural self, you are living by default because we are all born into sin. Our thinking is messed up. Our lives are messed up. Things are messed up. And so if you're just living in the way that you were born, you're living by default. But if you are going to live by design, it only happens when you choose to begin to live intentionally in every area. And let me just say this, everything matters. Everything matters. Pastor Denny always says it this way. Everything is about everything. Everything is about everything. How you have conflict with your spouse, it matters. How you correct and discipline your children, it matters. Your attitude in the workplace, it matters. What you watch on television and what you listen to in your car, it matters. Why? Because you are either creating a life by default or you are creating your life by design. Either you are letting your situations dictate your response or what you have already set in your life is dictating your responses. It is either one way or the other. And we must be people that choose to live by design, and we live by design because we're committed to goals. Why? Because goals create the structure for your design. They help you to take charge of your life. You have a choice. Everyone in this room, you have a choice. Either you can take control of your life, or your life will take control of you. We've all been in that place where life was in control of us, where things were rolling downhill and it was out of control and it was moving so fast that we were doing the best we could to keep everything juggling and everything going and running here and running there. And life was dictating to us where we would go and who we would become and how we would think because life was in control. But you have to be the one that takes control. And goals help you take control of your life. This is what Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 15. So be careful how you live. So be careful what you think about. So be careful how you talk to your spouse. So be careful what you let your children watch on television. So be careful about what you say to your coworkers. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. And now everybody in this room would agree that wise people live intentionally, that wise people live by design and not by default. And so the Bible says, don't live like the fools who are out there living by default, who are living life accidentally. Be like wise people who are living intentional lives because they've decided to create a design for their lives. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly. There it is, accidentally. Don't act thoughtlessly. Don't live thoughtlessly. Don't just live from moment to moment, bouncing back and forth. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. And the Lord wants you to live a life that glorifies Him. The Lord wants you to stay on the pathway. The Lord wants you to finish your race. And the one thing we know is we have to have goals so that we can take control of the race. Here's number two. Stay on track. Stay on track. Goals help you to maintain focus on your long-term destination by creating short-term benchmarks. Goals help you stay focused on your long-term destination by creating short-term benchmarks. What is my destination? What is the mission of my life? What do I want my life to say at the end of 2015? It's just like taking a trip. Before you take off, you have to have a destination in mind, because your route will be determined by your destination. And hear me closely this morning. If you aren't careful, your life will detour far away from your vision. Your life will detour far away from what you wanted it to be. But goals and benchmarks keep you on pace, and they keep you on the right path. This is what David said in Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me in the right path, O Lord, or my enemies will conquer me. Do you realize you have some real enemies? The world, the flesh, and the devil. The Bible tells us that is our enemies. They are trying to conquer you. They are trying to lure you off the path. They are trying to tempt you. They are trying to discourage you. They are trying to make you angry. They are doing their best to get you off the path. But he says, make your way plain for me to follow. What does that mean? I've got to know where I'm going so I can set up some benchmarks in my life that are going to help me reach my final destination. How many of you had one of those old GPSs that whenever you would get off the course, that GPS would start going, recalculating. It's like it wouldn't shut up. I don't think they do that anymore because so many people took that GPS and started banging it on the dashboard and they just had to replace them. So I don't think they do that. But now the iPhone's not that much better because the iPhone, it starts just telling you, make a U-turn. I was driving down in New Orleans, and it kept telling me, make a U-turn. But all the signs said, no U-turn. And I had to keep driving, make U-turn. I'm like, can't you see the sign? I can't turn around. I mean, I don't know. Maybe you're more holy than me. I'm sorry. I got a little upset in that moment. But why is it recalculating? Why is it telling you to make a U-turn? Because you've gotten off your predetermined path. You said, I wanted to go to this place. You said, I wanted to go this way. And when you get off your predetermined path, it's trying to get you back on the path. And that's what goals do in your life. And this principle is not just speaking about a lifetime destination. Your long-term destination could be the end of 2015. Hear me when I tell you this morning that you have to have February benchmarks for December destinations. If you don't have benchmarks for February and benchmarks for May, and if you don't have benchmarks set up for August, then there is not a chance you're going to reach your destination in December. You have got to have things along the way that said, I know I'm on the right path. I keep hitting these benchmarks. I keep hitting my marks. I keep hitting my goals for all of these months, and therefore, I know I'm going to end up in the right place in December. You see, that's what it does. It keeps you on the path. It keeps you focused on your long-term destination by setting up those short-term benchmarks in your life. Here's number three. Goals keep you moving forward. They keep you moving forward. It helps you overcome resistance and bounce back fast. Expect the pressure of resistance to change. Expect the pressure of resistance to change. You say, I'm going to start eating healthy in 2015. Well, on day number three, after broccoli and asparagus, you are going to feel the resistance pushing back, saying, where is the brownie sundae and the french fries? You are going to feel the resistance to change. You say, I'm going to wake up and go to the gym every morning at 6:30. And you hit that gym for a few days, and you wake up that next day, and all of a sudden you are feeling the resistance of change. Your body says, I liked it a lot better in 2014. I like sleeping in. I like lazy mornings. It's going to be trying to push you back. Why? Because you've got to expect the resistance to change. When you don't feel like it, goals help remind you of what you have already declared as important to you. It's not what your mom said was important. It's not even what your pastor said should be important. No, your goals declare, this is what I have determined is important for me, and it will allow me to fight resistance and to overcome resistance because I have said, this is important to me, so I'm going to do what it takes to overcome. This is what the Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. He says, all athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away. But we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. You see, if you are going to get to your final destination, then you've got to keep moving forward with purpose in every step. Why? Because you're running for a prize. Why? Because you're fighting for a prize. Why? Because there's something valuable at the end, and it's worth getting back up for and getting back in the game again. Goals help you keep moving forward. But you know what? When you give in, when you do ignore the goals, when you take the easy route, when you get lazy, one of the things your goals will do is they will help you bounce back faster. Your goals will literally put you back in the game because your goals act like a cheerleader in your life. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten off track, I've gotten lazy, I've gotten distracted, and I've revisited my goals. And my goals, it's like they come off the page and it's like they start cheering for me. They start saying, come on, Philip, get back in the game, get back on the track. You can finish the race. Why? Because I said I could do this. This is what I said I wanted. I said this was important to me. And my cheerleader, they start cheering off the page, and I say, I'm going to get back in the game because I can accomplish this. I can change. I can be what it says I'm going to be. So my goals begin to cheer me on in the process, and they keep me moving forward. You see, goals are so important, and I hope that as you get into 2015, I hope you write your goals down, because goals are important because you need to know when you have arrived. You need to know when you're not there yet, and you need to know when you have arrived. We don't just need any goals for 2015. No, we need SMART goals in 2015. We need SMART goals. I've got a little acrostic for you as you begin to make your goals out for this year, and I want you to make sure that you write this down, because this is going to help you come up with your goals. The S stands for specific. Specific. You've got to be specific in your goal making. You can't say, I want to be a nicer person. I mean, that sounds really good. I mean, we would clap for that. Yeah, you'll be a nicer person. But that's so vague and ambiguous. It's not specific. Instead, you need to say things like this. I will smile at everyone I walk past. That's specific. I will encourage or compliment at least one person every day. That means when you go to bed that night, you know if you accomplished that specific task. You need to be specific. The M stands for measurable. It needs to be able to be measured. Your goal needs to be measurable. You can't say, I want to read more. Read more than what? When you were 3 years old or more than last year? I don't know. You need to say things like this. I want to read 6 books in 2015. That's what you say. It's got to be measurable. You can't say, I want to pray more. Pray more than you did on your worst year or your best year? I don't know. Pray more than what? You've got to be specific, and it's got to be measurable. You say, I will pray for 10 minutes every morning before I go to work. Why? Because you can measure that. You know if you prayed for 10 minutes or not. Either you didn't make 10 or you made 10. It is measurable. Here's the A. The A is for achievable. Achievable. I was talking to a small group leader who's in another church, and he was telling me just about a month ago, he had a guy walk into small group with a basketball. And he said when they were taking prayer requests, he got around to this guy, and the guy said, God told me that I'm going to play in the NBA. I just want y'all to pray for me. He said, okay, cool, man. He says, how old are you? He says, I'm 24 years old. He says, so did you grow up playing basketball? The guy says, I've never played basketball before in my life, but I'm practicing hard now. I hate to tell you, but you're probably not going to play in the NBA if you're 24 years old and you've never played a game of basketball before in your life. You see, you need to know your goals, they need to be achievable. They need to be realistic. They need to be achievable. Here's the R. The R is for relevant. Relevant. See, there's a lot of things that I could accomplish before the end of 2015. I mean, I could become a great magician by the end of 2015. I mean, I could learn some card tricks and some corn tricks. I could make some stuff disappear up here on the stage. Poof, it would be gone. You'd be like, wow, it's unbelievable. But would it be relevant to my life? Absolutely not. You see, there's a lot of things that you can do. There's a lot of things that you can accomplish. But is it relevant to your calling? Is it relevant to your purpose? Is it relevant to the growth of your family? Is it relevant in your life? Your goals have to be relevant. And the T stands for timely. Your goals need to be time sensitive. They need to be bound by time. It needs to be a short enough of a time frame that you feel some pressure, but not so short that it creates an impossibility. Okay, if you're 30 years old, you don't need to say, I plan to read the Bible before I die. Okay, like that you could probably do it a little bit shorter than that. Okay, probably don't need the next 60 years for you to read through your Bible one time. You can do it short, but then you can't be the type of person that says, I'm going to read my Bible next week, Pastor, the whole thing, Genesis to Revelation. I'm going to do it. You are setting yourself up for failure. It's got to be the right time. There needs to be a time frame where you feel a little pressure, where you got to work hard to get it done, but not so short that it is impossible. Give yourself some deadlines. Put deadlines in your life. Put deadlines for your growth. Put some deadlines in your life. It will be the thing that gives you, that allows you to have smart goals, time-bound goals in your life. I want everyone in here to say this. Say, I will have smart goals in 2015. Good, I believe you because you're not a liar. Okay, Paul writes in verse 13. He says, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. Here he goes back to that goal. He says, I'm not quite there yet. I haven't taken hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what lies ahead. Paul says, let me just give you this one piece of advice. This is something that I do, and I have found it beneficial in my life, and I think you will find it tremendously beneficial in your life as well. Forget what is behind and strain toward what is ahead. Hear me clearly this morning. If you don't learn to put what is behind you, then what should be behind you will always stay in front of you. That's worth saying again. If you don't put what is behind you, then what should be behind you will always stay in front of you. You know, there are some people that can't see past their past because their past is still in front of them. There's people that can't see past their pain because their pain is still in front of them. There's people that can't see past their sin because their sin is still in front of them. There's people that can't see past their failures because their failures are still in front of them. And that which should be behind them is actually blocking their vision of what is before them. Their yesterday is blocking their view of tomorrow. Last year is blocking their view of next year. And as the band comes at this time, what Paul is instructing us is Paul is saying, listen, you can't live effective lives reaching for what is in front of you while you're still clinging to those things that are behind you. You can't live effective and impactful lives if you're still holding tightly to all those things that are in your past and you're not able to move forward in your life. So Paul says this. This is his only solution. He says, forget what is behind you. Because you can't change it. Because you can't redo it. Because you can't fix it. So Paul says the only option you have is to forget it. So what is Paul saying to us this morning? Paul is saying, put it in the rear view. Put it in the rear view mirror. I'm not pretending like it didn't happen. It's just behind me. I'm not acting like I don't remember it. It's just behind me. I'm not playing like I wasn't disappointed. It's just behind me. I'm not faking like I didn't know better at the time. It's just behind me now. I'm not saying that it didn't hurt. It's just behind me. I'm not claiming that I didn't didn't do it. It's just behind me now. And those things that are behind me, I have determined to leave behind me because I don't want to spend my life dodging things that should be behind me. You see, when it is in the rear view, hear me, when it's in the rear view, you can still see it. It's just not in your way anymore. It's still back there. Oh, it still happened. It's still painful. It was still a mistake. It's still something that you wish wouldn't have happened, but it's behind you. It's not affecting me because I'm moving forward and life is moving forward. And as I move forward, I don't want to spend my life dodging things that should be behind me. You've got to put some things that happened in 2014, you've got to put them in the rear view. You've got to put them in the rear view. You're not pretending like it didn't happen. You're not acting like you're holier than thou. No. It did happen. And yes, it hurt, but you've got to put it behind you. And as I was reading this scripture, I love this text. Preached on this text, and I always talk about putting those things behind you because there's so much value in putting your past behind you. Whether you're talking about your failures or your successes, the only way you can get to the thing that's in front of you is if you put what is behind you, and I've preached that so much, but as I was reading this text, something just leaped off the page at me. Paul says, forget what is behind. Straining for what is ahead. Forget what is behind. I've always put all my focus on what is behind. And he said, but strain for what is ahead. And as I read that, I thought, man, there are some people on the last Sunday of 2014 that need to know there's something ahead. There's some people that need to know there's a new season that's ahead. There's some people that need to know that the prayers that they have been praying are going to be answered ahead. There are some people that walked into the room this morning, and you need to know that God has something ahead. It's there whether you ever get there or not. God has divinely predestined it, and he has set it before you. But he says the only way you can get to the thing that is ahead is if you put the things that are behind you. And so there are some things that we need to leave in 2014. There are some things that we need to walk away from in 2014. We need to put that which is behind us so that we can go for what God has put ahead of us. And it's not something that we created. It's something that he created. It's not something that we put there. It's something that he put there. And if we can put it behind us back here, we can strain forward to get what is ahead. And I'm telling you right now, as it just began to rise up inside of me, I said, man, this is what we're starting 2015 with. We're starting 2015 with a series entitled Next, because you need to know there's a next season for your life. You need to know that there's a next breakthrough for your life. You need to know that there's a next relationship. You need to know that there's a next friend. You need to know that there's a next moment for you. You need to know that there's a next ministry position for you. You need to know that there is a next in your life. And so God says, if you will put these things behind you, you can grab a hold of the next that I have for you. You need to know, despite what 2014 looked like, despite what the last decade looked like, despite what your entire life has looked like, God's got a next for you, and it's ahead of you. And if you will determine in your heart to put your past behind you, you can lay hold of everything that God has for you. If you believe that God has a next for you, you need to get on your feet right now, and you need to put your hands together, and you need to begin to declare over yourself, I am moving into my next. I am moving into my next. I am moving into my next for the glory of God. I am moving into my next season. Look at me just for a moment. We can't get to next until we deal with what's behind. You can't get to next dragging all the stuff behind you. That's why Paul said you got to leave it back there. families that I broke up and all the people that I murdered and all the towns and churches that I destroyed. I can't let my past keep me. I just had to forget about it. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but it just turned into part of my testimony. And my testimony is all about His glory. So I just determined I'm going to put that behind me because I found that God had a next for me. God had a next city for me to go to. He had a next message for me to preach. He had the next soul for me to win. There is a next for the Apostle Paul, and there's a next for you. You need to know there's a next for you. God has a next. A next. A next. There's a next for you. There's a next. It doesn't matter how painful it was. There's a next for you. It doesn't matter how disappointed you are. There is a next for you. It doesn't matter how bad your mistake was. There is a next for you. And you need to close out 2014 putting some things behind you and walk into 2015 believing that I'm moving ahead. I am moving into my next season. Come on. Bow your heads with me this morning.